going to read Matthew 2:1-4. It's found on page 1497 in your pew Bibles, if you care to read along. Hear God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was going to be born.
Thank you. Wasn't that precious to see the children sing? That was wonderful. And that one little girl, she's a drama queen already. Who made her? Which one of you parents? Yeah, gee whiz. So let me ask a question here. Is there some part of you that's glad that Christmas is over? Oh, yeah. It's a workout, isn't it? It's fun. And actually, I sort of see that the mood of the country kind of, as a culture, kind of changes, kind of becomes more benevolent, kinder, gentler. But it is a workout. So I'm glad I share that with you. Well, today, the passage is continuing on in the life of Jesus. We celebrated his birth here with Christmas. Today, now, we celebrate what's called Epiphany. Epiphany is used in two ways. One, linguistically, in our language. When someone has an insight, we say, I had an epiphany. And we use that term quite commonly. Theologically, it means the occasion when God the Father broke into the human experience and revealed himself through his Son Jesus. That's Epiphany. That's the celebration of God breaking through in revelation to us. And so the story of that event is captured in chapter 2 of Matthew. And there's some comments that I wish to share with you about that. Let's review the passage. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, we don't know how long after, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Let me stop there. These were not Jewish people. These were, it says, Magi. There are different theories as to what they are, but we know that they were stargazers, because a star is going to appear here in just a minute. And so they are probably astrologers, or certainly skilled in it. And they find something new in the sky, and they begin following it. The star, I don't know if it's an actual star or if it were a special star. It's just not clear in the passage. It just says that it's going to say that there was a star that led them. And they come to Jerusalem, where they ask the question, where is the one who is born King of the Jews? Now, they were of the notion that the rising of a star or the falling of a star meant the birth or the death of a world ruler. And so they went to Herod, believing that it was related to King Herod, and they wanted to know, they believed, they assumed that this star was related to a son of King Herod. And so they went to King Herod. And they said, so, where is this one who was born king of the Jews? And, that's a fair assumption, because we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, these are not let me unravel a little bit here. So much of the Renaissance paintings that we have these days actually inform what we believe. It does not say that there were three magi. It just says that there were more than one. There were two or more magi who were coming here. But we see in some of the Renaissance paintings three kings, and that's based on some assumptions, reasonable ones, but assumptions that these were kings because they will come bearing pretty handsome gifts, that they could afford this kind of journey, this kind of campaign to follow this star, which would have taken several months and several hundred miles through some bad lands of the day. And so it wasn't, and if I say three, just understand, I get caught up myself in the thought that there were three magi. But however many there were, that they were going through the Badlands, they could not and would not have gone through those places by themselves as just, for example, three guys. But that they would have brought an entourage, a military group to protect them so that no one would mess with them. And then in verse 3 it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Because he was actually in a process of killing his family. He didn't want anybody threatening him. And he was disturbed, and it says all of Jerusalem with him. Now the reason all of Jerusalem would have been disturbed is because, let's say there were 300 people in this entourage marching through Jerusalem, that would have been noticeable. And that they went to the king would give thought and reason to believe that these magi were king types, and they were talking to an equal among themselves, each other. And so they went to King Herod with this big entourage, and a lot of people were concerned about what was happening. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now, it's interesting that the star is going through the heavens, and nature can lead us part way to God, without a doubt. The scriptures even say that the sky and the stars and all of nature groan and call out and give praise to God. And so nature does offer a certain amount of revelation as to who God is. But there comes a point in time when there are limits to that. And so they, these magi, go to King Herod. They ask him, because of mistaken reasons, thinking that it was his son. But even King Herod, although he was corrupt, he was a ruthless guy, he went to the scriptures. And he found out that this Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. He asks where the Christ is going to be born. And the reporters, the theologians, come back and they say, in Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for that this is what the prophet has written. And there was a prophecy written about the coming of the Messiah. It says, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, and boy, that was what set Herod off, who will be a shepherd, that was even more threatening, of my people Israel. And so Herod, in verse 7, it says, then Herod called the Magi back secretly and found out from them exactly the time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you have found him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Well, I made the comment a few weeks ago that Herod had worship on his lips, but murder in his heart. And just because someone says something, let us as the people of God, people in the light, not be mistaken to think that what is being said is true. Sometimes, well, hopefully it is, but let's give room for the possibility that it's not. In verse 9 it says, and after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Then the star led them to Jerusalem. They found out from Scripture that it was going to be, that the birth was going to be in Bethlehem. And then as soon as they launched out on that, the star reappeared. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. This star had become something of a friend, a companion for them all this time. On coming to the house, notice it says house, not, not the manger scene that we often see in these Christmas pictures. They saw the child with the mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures, presented it to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it's a good thing that they gave these handsome gifts to Joseph and Mary, because in the paragraph that follows this, actually probably just a short time after this event of the Magi appearing, Joseph is going to receive a dream, a vision, to get up, take your family, and flee to Egypt, because Herod is going to want to kill the baby. And then finally, verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. There are several ways that God communicates to people in these brief verses here. We see the star, and indeed nature does offer some general revelation to us. But the Scriptures offer more specific direction. And when you and I are in a place going through the nighttime of life, and we're looking for some lights to follow, indeed, you might get something from nature. More specifically, you'll get some help from the Scriptures. And so read the Scriptures on a regular basis. Then thirdly, be alert to your dreams. Even this morning, someone said that they were praying because of some dreams that they had. And that happens to me occasionally. Most of the time I get premonitions, and most of the guidance I get, I have to say, is from my wife. You'll find some people in your life who are reliable, who are very much in tune and set with the Lord, and their guidance is often very, usually very helpful. Well, this is sort of a picturesque scene that we have here, but it doesn't last long. It says, just to comment in verse 13, and when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take your child and his mother. I said, take your child. No, it doesn't say that. It says, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. In real estate terms, some of you have heard of people doing a midnight move. Well, that happened here. And a comment that has bearing on discussions going on now about immigration. Jesus and his family were immigrants. They were people on the run for a while. And fortunately, the borders were loose enough so that they could find safe haven in another place. But it does offer some, example offers some guidance to us that there are people on the run, people who are in desperate poverty, people who are in danger, people who simply want a better way of life. And for those people, my heart goes out to them. Well, for you and me, you and I, while we live here, we're safe, we're secure, we have a place. Nonetheless, there are times when things go badly for us. We might lose a job, might lose a family member. This last week, I was doing a death notification for the police department, and it happened to be an immigrant family, and here they were in a foreign country for them, and one of the family members died, and it was I was thinking, what would it be like for me to have Judy and me in a foreign country and to have her or me die in that place? It happens. But what a scary thing it was for them. And the police department provides a chaplain to help the family through those critical times and places. You and I are around people who are going through hard times. Let us pay attention to them. Let us give them time. Let us ask questions. Let us listen to them. And let them express what they want, what they really need. And then you and I can, at least at a minimum, we can pray for them. You've heard me say and ask the question, what would you like the Lord to do for you? And that is a question that just rings well in the hearts of people. And for you and me to offer to pray for them is a blessing all the time to them. Well, let us prepare our hearts for communion. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that just before Joseph and his family had to flee, you provided for them. Lord, I'm asking that even now that you would provide for us, that you would give us grace, that you would come to us and make yourself real, that you would break through and be an epiphany to us, that you would show us signs and wonders that reassure us that your hand is upon us. Oh Lord, take this bread, this common, ordinary element, and take this cup. And Lord, cause these to be means of grace for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.